All right, thanks, Tim. If everyone would like to stand up, our first song for tonight is May the Peoples Praise You. Say it at the start, but happy Whitsun Tide, everyone. And
thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron. Yes, our second song for tonight is "Facing a Task Unfinished."
This will need a flick over halfway through.
Flick over. Okay. Good.
Our slothfully.
Well done, everyone. You can take a seat.
Lift your voices. That's good.
Who's joining me? Okay, just bear with us on the technical setup here. Apparently, I didn't share the screen. Turn my video off?
Yeah, we don't
see you. Yeah, good idea. There we go. Entire screen, that's what we want. I'm too busy concentrating to tell jokes. Yeah, where's Darn when you need him? Okay. What am I hiding here? Floating media controls. All right. I think we're there. So, welcome everyone today, and does everyone know why we're here?
The food.
Other than for the food?
Whittentide.
Hey. Well done. From the mouths of babes. So that's right, tonight we're celebrating Whitsuntide, and it is one of those events in our church that we sort of have it as the finalisation of the Sunday school year, so the Sunday school kids usually put on a bit of a presentation, which is good. But more importantly here, I also wanted to do a bit of a bit of background on what it's all about, and sort of have a look at how it fits in, and some of the key events which you probably all remember from years past. I think I've never done a Whitsuntide before that I can remember. Ben's done it year on year, and he had the same quiz every year. And I think by last year they were starting to get the answers there, because it was the same questions every year. So I don't know if you'd call me a fresh presenter, but I'm a different presenter anyway. So for whatever that's worth. So I haven't got any exciting PowerPoints or anything like that, but I've got here a few slides just with some detail about what Pentecost means. And most of us would all remember that Pentecost brought the gifts of both the law to the Israelites originally after they were saved from exiting Egypt as slaves. And then we also had in the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter was the Holy Ghost. And it actually came at the same time at Pentecost. So that's a major event for both Christian and Jewish churches. And being Christian Israelite church, we sort of hold this event to being a major significance. So I've got there, obviously, a few verses about Mount Sinai. And interestingly, we had sort of smoke and fire descending on the mountain as God came down. And then, of course, when we had at the time of Pentecost, we had the fire, the tongues of fire assembling, coming down onto the disciples when they received the Holy Spirit. So we get this theme of fire that's coming. And I think, you know, essentially I put a bit of a summary there at the bottom. Both the law and the Spirit were given at Pentecost, the divine appointment of truth and power. So essentially what we do have is this divine instruction coming down to man, both in the form of the laws and then secondly, or God coming down and teaching his people how to become a nation, what's right and what's wrong. And then we now have the Spirit coming down. And we had a few songs this morning about bringing that message to the whole world. And what's unique about the New Testament message is that it is there now being proclaimed to the whole world, to be bringing everyone into the one family, okay, as Christians. So that's sort of the bit of the background on Pentecost itself. Does that all make sense to everyone? Yep, all good. Okay, now, I do have a colourful slide, fortunately, the one colourful slide, but I thought I would just put up here that part of the original instructions to Israel were that they were to have certain feasts throughout the year. Now, the first major feast is that of the Passover, which is when they were brought out of Egypt. The Passover was that major event that that allowed them to come out of Egypt, and certainly it saved them from the Egyptians. So there was a salvation message there, just like we received Jesus at the and he came and gave his life for us at the time of the Passover. So there's a common theme with salvation coming at the time of Passover. So salvation, Passover, that's the theme there. Now, Pentecost comes later, and as I said, that's divine instruction. That's the next level, divine instruction. And we have this concept, which we say in this church, of the two immortal spirits. So we're looking for divine instruction from the two immortal spirits, both from Christ, or as we would say these days, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We're looking for his guidance and the Spirit that he carried. But then, of course, also the Holy Ghost, that other comforter that's sent at the time of Pentecost. Now, for those who were attending some of our other services, I sort of like to see how these things fit together as far as timing is concerned. And so Nisan there is the name of the Jewish month. And what would happen is they would have the Passover lamb was selected and then it was sacrificed. So Jesus was sacrificed and then we had 3 days that he was in the tomb. Now, these sort of follow the similar events that the Israelites had. They camped at different places. But then, of course, on the first, after the first Sabbath, after the normal weekly Sabbath, which was the Saturday, we believe Jesus rose on that sort of Sunday, you know, Saturday night to Sunday morning time when they came down to the grave and found it empty. And so that was that amazing thing that we found, how Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, that corresponds with what we call the offering of first fruits or the Feast of First Fruits. And it was interesting how this all fits together because when you actually start lining it up, if anybody here knows about the Jewish feasts, they celebrated Shavuot, I think it was about a week ago. And that was because, I mean, sometimes our calendars don't align, but this year the calendars do align. But if we can take that example of Jesus when he is our first fruits, then we can say, well, after that Sabbath, after that weekly Sabbath, he was raised the next day. And so that was the Sunday morning, as we would normally say in Christian tradition, which 50 days later, we now have Pentecost, or Whit Sunday, as we put it. So that's how it all sort of fits in, and why sometimes we don't exactly line up with the Jewish calendar in that regard, because they would take it after the first high Sabbath day. They would do they would take it 50 days from there. So there's a slight misalignment there, but anyway, it's all quite interesting when you haven't done a great job of explaining it tonight, but yes, it's quite interesting when you look at how it all fits together. Okay, so I've got here just quickly, as I was talking about God's feast, these are God's appointed time. And this is a significant event that we're all celebrating here tonight, because it's something that's been going for thousands and thousands of years. It was 1,500 years odd before Jesus came, and then now 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating this event. And so Paul talks about assembling together, and he talks about a covenant that he wants us to put on our hearts, of having the laws in our hearts and minds. And this is this new sort of idea that came with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so in Hebrews 10 there, we have those couple of verses there where it talks about the law being a shadow of things to come, and then obviously looking for us to convert the way that we do the law. We're not here to have our earthly priests that have to atone for us and that have to do these different things for us. We now have a direct connection with Jesus, who is our high priest. So that's a significant change to the way things were done previously. He's our sacrifice. He's the one who is intercessing for us and sitting at the right hand of God and making sure that our sins are covered. But he still wants us to have our hearts in the right place. And that's really the most important part about living as a Christian once you have accepted Jesus. And so that's really the underlying message of the coming of the Spirit, is to try to turn and change us to try to refine us internally so that we want to follow after these instructions. But they don't come from an external enforcement like they had when Jesus was around. They come from within. So I thought I'd quickly look, and we've got just a couple more slides. Signal's not there yet for the Sunday school. That's not the signal. Okay, so who is Jesus? Now, Jesus, we talk about this concept of the Word becoming flesh. And I think it's quite interesting how we get this correlation with Jesus as being the Word of God. And he makes a few comments. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So I thought I'd grab a few verses there just to look at how that, what is the way and what's the truth and what's the life. And to do that, when looking at some parallelisms and looking at some other words within the Bible, we've got in Psalm 119, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sounds a bit like the way, isn't it? So Jesus is the way. The commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So once again, we've got another way, but we also have that he is the life. Now, interestingly, the law, when it came, it was told to the Israelites, follow this and live. I set this law before you. If you can follow it, you will live. So it was the way of life. Now, I'll read through the rest of these. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Okay, Jesus is the truth. And from Deuteronomy, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Okay. And of course, from Proverbs there, the law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Okay, so we got this concept of the law came and it is our life. If we could follow this law, then we would have instructions to life. However, our carnal being doesn't allow us to follow the law. And so there were some flaws with the way that that was implemented. So, who is Jesus? He comes to change the application of this. He is still that same law. He is still that same word that was there from the beginning. Jesus is the physical manifestation of God's eternal word and law. So that's who Jesus is. Okay, now, does anyone know what the longest chapter is in the Bible? What the? So, oh, is it? Oh, well, there it is. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. So, I thought it was interesting because he says a number of times, about four times in Revelations, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this psalm actually has, it's like an acrostic. It follows the alphabet or the Aleph-bet, which is the Hebrew alphabet. The first letter being Aleph, then it goes Bet, but the last one is Tav. So I thought it'd be interesting to look at what the Alpha and the Omega says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shalt I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now let's jump over to the Omega or the Tav in this case. The Z in our case. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Now you might replace that. The word is Jesus Christ. Deliver me according to thy son, Jesus Christ. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy son, Jesus Christ. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me. I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, I really like that verse because you see there the bringing together of what Jesus did. He knew all the scriptures, and he's able to bring in these examples and in his parables and in his teaching that actually refer back to these Old Testament teachings that were there. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And we know that he is out there trying to seek for us, seek for those lost sheep. And as it's got there, I do not forget thy commandments. So there is a bit of an instruction here that that keeps coming back to what the Word of God wants us to actually do, and that is to be following him and doing what he says. Okay. Now, this slide is the second from the end. So, you know, maybe the little kids might want to start getting ready, but if that's not a big enough sign. But, okay, so let's look briefly at the law. Now, people, we've got this sort of different takes on what the law is and what it means to us these days. But we know that the New Testament tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And of course, Paul says in Romans, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except that the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, obviously, as I said, Jesus being the Word of God, well, why wouldn't he be teaching that same Word of God? He teaches the law. I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Okay, we know what happens if we don't follow the law, because the law is what brings life. So it's actually not following it or sin that brings death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Deuteronomy 30, I've set before you life and death, therefore choose life. Now, we do have victory in the flesh through Jesus Christ, because he will quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit. So starting to see the Spirit come into things. And so I'll look finally at a slide on the Spirit next. Now, in John 11, verse 26, he says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And before that, he says that if you live, if you believe in me, you shall not, though you were dead, yet shall you live. So we then get this follow-up where he says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And that's quite an amazing promise and one that we hold on to in this church. Jesus can cleanse us to be with him in the flesh at his return. Okay, we've got this new covenant, as I mentioned before. God's law remains but operates by a new high priest, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ stepped in to give us this new mediator, this new application of the law, one that that we can be sure that if we are believing and repentant, and although we continue to get things wrong, he's going to be covering up that sin and helping us move forward. But we do need to have the right heart, and that's where the Spirit comes in. Now, I've got a couple of verses here just on the Spirit before we finish up. John 14, 26, the Comforter shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, what are we remembering but those other than those instructions that were given? And in John 16, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what was the truth? Truth is the Word. Truth is Jesus, and truth is the law. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. So it's not anything new. It's something that it's coming to bring into remembrance these things, these laws, these statutes that have been there since the beginning of time. Okay, Ezekiel 36, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And from Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay, so certainly the Holy Spirit comes. It's something that we're seeking to do the work in us, something that we have, people have not succeeded in doing the law. People have not been able to succeed in being perfect other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that perfect example of the law, and he is who we are to model our lives against. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to refine us internally, to witness to us and to teach us how to live holy. Okay, and then we've got this idea of the Spirit and the law united. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Oh, how I love the law, it is my meditation all the day. The Spirit is obedience and not lawlessness. So the Spirit is there to try to teach us to be in obedience with living out the instructions that are in the Bible. So certainly, I'll sum up here by saying we're saved by grace, but empowered by the Spirit to then obey. The law is certainly not abolished, because we haven't got a new heavens and a new earth and nothing has been changed. We are still in this fallen world that we're in. the law is still there as that connection to what sin is and that defining of sin. But certainly it is fulfilled through Jesus Christ in us. But we need to be trying to walk in both spirit and in truth if we are to be God's disciples, if we are wanting to follow after his example. And really, that's what Pentecost is all about, trying to set up our lives so that we can be in walking in true obedience to both the spirit of the law and also following after Jesus' example and how he would have us live in his footsteps as his disciples. So, pretty significant event. I know I've got a lot of information up there, but you know, like I said, could have done it up in some fancy slides, but didn't have time. But all the information's there. The word speaks for itself. Now, we have we might do the youth item after the Sunday school. Is that all right? Okay, so I'll just check on Sunday school.
How are we going? Good to go?
Almost.
Okay, I'll step down and, we'll hand it over to the kids.
Welcome, ladies and gentlefolk, back to Channel 9's newest season of Interview That Bible Character. Today's interviewee will be patient and wise Abram, or soon to be Abraham.
Chloe here, and right now I'm in the middle of the desert. Thank you.
As I was saying, we're about to get to the bottom of this amazing story of one of my personal heroes, Abraham, a man of incredible patience. No, not that kind of...
Maybe we should skip this part and hurry up and find this Abraham guy. I've got cookies baking.
Whoa! Hey, I'm not a patient. I'm the director. I'm not sick. Marcus, move that light over. And Mr. Abraham's nose is shiny. Could I get some makeup? And the background looks a bit too deserty. Talia! Go get the plant. Oh, beautiful. Okay, let's do this. Mr. Abraham, you are the father of a great nation. What is the secret to your leadership?
Well, frankly, I'm as...
Chloe! What happened?
We're out of tape.
Well, get another. I brought plenty.
We're down to one.
One?
Oh no. Get through this kind of quickly then.
All right, everyone, take three.
Take three.
I said, frankly, I'm as...
Cut!
Take four.
As I said, frankly, I'm as... So, these are spitting camels.
Cut! 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 Very sorry, Mr. Abraham. I am so embarrassed. You are definitely a man of incredible patience.
Patience!
No. No, not that kind of patient. No. Patience, not patience.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Cookies waiting. Abraham, interview, take five.
Well, to tell you the truth, Chloe, it's all about hope and trusting that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, even if it takes some time.
Well, hey!
But waiting's really hard.
Sure it is, but sometimes you've got to wait, even if waiting isn't easy. You know, my name wasn't always Abraham. It used to be Abram, but that was back when I was living the high life with my wife Sarah in the town of Ur. Something fun to do, plenty of refreshments and loads of family. But when I say family, I mean brothers and sisters. You see, me and my wife Sarah, we hadn't had a child of our own. And that's what we wanted, a child. And then one day, God spoke to me. He said that my children's to leave my homeland of Ur immediately, and that my children and my children's children would become a great nation, and he was going to bless me.
Okay. God bless you.
Haha, child of our own. We couldn't wait.
That's fantastic. Moving right along here.
Yes, let's talk about patience.
I was still young, 75, practically a spring chicken. But I was at peace and ready for the adventure ahead.
Peace! It was the best packing! Change of all dress clothes, plus having to plan for a baby? He knew I preferred to live near my mother.
So, Sarah.
So anyway, God said to go, but where? Abe said he didn't say. He didn't say! It's like making my insides all crazy. Like a smoothie.
You know what I could go for right now? A smoothie. I love those.
Chloe, we're running low on tape. So, sir, could you make your answers a bit more short and peppy?
Ah, but it didn't happen. Short and peppy.
Well, then skip to the part when we learn about patience.
Oof! As you were saying?
So we obeyed God, leaving our hometown of Ur immediately.
What time to log to?
We took a lot of sheep.
What took a lot of pizza?
A lot.
Finally, we arrived in Canaan.
Where life was good.
But still did not have a child.
Then famine hit.
What ate all the pizza?
The runaway sheep. So we decided to move it to Egypt to weather it out. And though we didn't have a home of our own,
and still did not have a child,
we were patient. It wasn't easy, but we waited for God's promise.
I spent the time thinking about all the things I would do with my baby.
And I started thinking up names for him. Larry, Mo, Shemp.
God made us a promise. If we had hope, and when way got hard, it helped me think about how wonderful it would be when we got our child.
So that's how patience paid off. The end. Okay, let's go home, Chloe. Cookies await.
Avalon, what about the child they were waiting for?
The child? Haven't you been listening?
We wanted a child. Haven't you been listening?
Sorry, cookies on the brain.
So anyway, we were up to the part where Abe Shepherd's and Lot Shepherd start fighting.
Fighting? Yeah, you do not want to wear wool in the desert. It makes you grumpy. Lot and I loved each other like brothers, but the shepherds, well, that's another story. So I allowed Lot to choose which direction he would go, and that land would belong to him, east or west.
I think we're going to go east.
And my dear nephew went his own way. My last bit of family. That was a sad day.
That's when God reminded Abe about his promise.
God told me to look around, all east and west. He said that the land would be mine and my descendants would outnumber the sand. It was a wonderful promise. And right when we thought the answer was about to arrive, war broke out.
You have got to be kidding me.
Can't rush God's promises.
This is never gonna end. I cannot do this anymore. Can we please get to the lesson on patience?
Patience? That's what I'm talking about.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, what she said. I'm burning hot out here.
That's better. That's a little bit better.
That's a little bit better.
That helped a little bit.
Chloe, I'm tired of waiting.
I
want to
go home. I want my cookies now.
I want to go home. I want my cookies now.
Avalon, this is why we're here.
What for? So I can miss out on the cookies my mum promised me?
Avalon, you're eventually going to get your cookies your mum promised you.
Well, what can I do in the meantime?
Well, do you trust that your mum's going to do what she says she's going to do?
Yeah. You're right, Chloe. I shouldn't have gotten so upset. I'll get my cookies eventually. But we're still out of tape.
I got an extra one if you want it.
You mean it?
Sure, it's the second season of Dancing with the Stars, but you can tape over it.
Okay, ready to roll. Abraham, I too know how hard it is to wait for something you really, really want. So, tell us what happened next.
Then I got a new name, Abraham, which means father of many nations. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And God made good on his promise. And Sarah gave birth to a baby boy, the baby God had promised 15 years earlier, Isaac. A boy that would become the father of Israel, a nation that would bless the whole world through King David to Jesus.
Zachary, don't do that.
Wait, that's the end of the story?
Well, there's a lot more actually, but as far as patience goes, it's a good place to stop.
What a nice story.
Aren't you glad you waited?
There you have it. Patience, it isn't always easy to wait. But God always comes through with his promises. Avalon, you ready for your cookies now?
What? Already? Oh boy, cookies, here I come.
Do you supposed to make some cookies for us?
Yeah, sure. Mum makes plenty.
Woohoo!
No pizza for you.
Yeah. Oh. That was pretty amazing. Okay, now I've got a quick video here which we can watch while the there's a screen there. That's okay. Jenny will sort that out. While the youth band's gonna treat us to an item. So if the youth band wants to assemble. Do I have some resistance from the youth? Yeah, all right, I'll play the video. Can you unmute it?
It's unmuted on the desk.
Brad.
Michelle. Josh.
Aaron.
Nadia. Angela.
Joseph, what do you like?
Father giving a colorful coat. Yeah. Wipe off one. Where Jesus is born.
Where Jesus
is born.
Counting every blessing, letting go and trusting. Wow, what story is that from? Really? And was the snake bad?
Yes. This is my favourite album that I've done in baseball.
I like the
baseball. The heart. Because we all did it together.
I love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you. Oh, sorry.
Good to me. Okay. Thank you, Lily and Anna, who put that together. All right. Now, I've apparently put the youth on the spot, but that's okay. I thought they'd be practiced because they did it last night.
Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. Blessing buried in the broken pieces.
shadows of the alleys. There was Jesus
in the fire in the bus.
There was Jesus
always is and always was.
No one ever walk alone.
Very nice. So we'll finish up with a hymn, sing for our supper, and then I'll hand it over to Paul to give us a rundown on how dinner's going to work. Just hold fire there for a moment, Paul. You can stay there on the organ. Now, we have some gifts to hand out for the children, so maybe we can get a couple of Sunday school teachers that could hand them out. Ange, can you help? Okay.
Start with the babies.
Okay, start with the babies. If you have a baby, bring it down. Come on down. Bring it. Bring it. Him or her.
Molly, Koa, Leo, Amelia. Ariana, Toby, Marcus, Sophie, Talia, Lachlan, Isaiah, Zachary and James. Marcus, Ari, Talia, Lachlan, James. Zachy. Joel coming up to Isaiah, Sophie, Joel, Chloe, Avalon, who is Emily, Josiah, Samuel, Isaac. Grab the color you want. Thank
you. Micah. The old boys.
The old boys.
Yeah, old boys. The youth are a large part of the Sunday school.
The youth.
They've got to lead the...
Josh, Lachlan, Anna, Lillian. Jacob.
All right. Let's start the song. We'll sing hymn 94. Okay, from all that dwell below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise, let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. Okay, happy Whitsuntide to everyone, and thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to get ready for dinner. If anybody didn't get a gift that would like one, feel free. We'll be getting some torches in the eyes, I'm sure, throughout the evening. Shine your light. I guess that's biblical. So, yeah, thanks.